It is too hot. But not too hot to play some football. They are Shelter, out there on the practice field.
For shade.
Well, Hugh's singing while he's eating. Mukbang Douglas and singing Hugh.
Yeah, I'm just making sure. I got no food in my beard, man. Yeah. They clown me.
Well, I mean, you're a little old to have food on your face.
I know, man, but it's like, you know, I'll be trying. I'm just trying.
I don't know. At what age does it become acceptable again for you to have food scraps?
And how close is Hugh to that age?
Right.
I'm almost there. Yeah. Like, when you have food scraps, that means you got a handler.
It's like the diapers thing. You move on from them, and then you go back to them eventually.
Matter of fact, now I'm
life is a full circle, you know. You almost become a baby again at the end.
Yeah, you start out in diapers, and then you probably leave in diapers.
That's the way it works. We're broadcasted today, no diapers, from the NovaCare Complex for 94 WIP's Champ Camp, driven by Forest River RV, by Camper World, RV sales, service parts, and accessories. Eagles on the field, full pads. By the way, our guests today are going to be Reed Blankenship and Jay Alexander. They'll be with us shortly. I did see that Reed Blankenship delivering some thuds today, so he's all ready to roll.
He looked like he was a little hyped this morning coming out to practice.
He did. Reed and Jay Alexander will join us coming up in a little bit. We'll get to the Phillies. An annoying loss last night to the Chicago White Sox. I wanted to sweep. That's over. They lose last night to the White Sox. More trade stuff out there. And more on that Manfred Harper thing, which is just a wild story. I mean, it is
out of press charges.
Well, I know you would have. A wild story. We'll get back into all that coming up. 215-592-9494. For quickly, before we get to what A.J. Brown said yesterday on NFL Network, I just want to offer condolences to the Sandberg family. Hugh, last night, the former Phillies manager, a farmhand way back in the day, and obviously, an all-time great player for the Chicago Cubs, Ryan Sandberg, passed away. He was the manager here when I first started at WIP. I think it was I started doing shows right after. I think he took over for Charlie right around that time.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, the team wasn't good enough at that time, and his tenure didn't last very long. But from everyone that knows him, I heard Ruben Amaro this morning talking about him. Seemed like a great guy, when I was growing up, he was one of the best players in baseball, and gone very shortly with an illness. It's sad that he got sick about a year ago, and he's gone now. So our condolences out to the Sandberg family.
Definitely, definitely.
Yeah, sad story that we found out last night. All right, A.J. Brown on NFL Network yesterday. They were here at Eagles camp. Let's listen to him. How quickly did he move on from winning the Super Bowl?
The message here seems to be like, okay, that's in the past, the Super Bowl. That was really great. Sure. It's over. We got to focus on this. How much time did you take to sort of celebrate and enjoy and think about the Super Bowl? At what point did you turn the page?
I'll say like 2 or 3 days afterwards, honestly. Oh. You know, I was
wow.
so excited.
Oh, man.
I was so excited to win and to try to feel that fulfillment, you know, and it wasn't fulfilling, to be honest. It was days like these are fulfilling. You know, it's the process. It's coming out and going to war with your brothers and 95 degree heat, you know, and just really just playing the game. You know, obviously, like, we want to win and we're doing it to win, but, you know, it's a part of the process, the everyday journey, and it's the hunt for me. So,
So Hugh, I remember when he put up the Instagram post, right, the day after the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I couldn't fathom.
You couldn't fathom it. I think we all get it a little bit more now, and it fits in with the mindset of the team. And I appreciate how much he works, right?
Mm-hmm.
Of all the things, A.J. Brown is great player.
Hard worker.
He might be one of the hardest workers in the whole league. He puts in the work to be great. And it's, you know, he went from second round pick to all pro. Like, that didn't happen
hard
by
to believe
accident.
He was second round pick.
I know,
man,
it does.
Works.
But he made himself into one of the great receivers in the league and maybe a future Pro Football Hall of Famer. I just think, like, when teams watch film, whether it be baseball, football, basketball, you don't just watch the bad plays. You also watch yourself at your best. And it just feels like the Eagles are almost pretending they didn't do what they did. They did it. I'm not saying dwell on it. I don't want them to rest on their laurels and not work. It's just it's very interesting to me, and it's loud. Last year, forget it. Moving on. But I think it would help them if they remember who they are when they have some adversity this year. And the messaging has been strong, Hugh, the whole time. I know you're good with it. I just wish they would embrace who they are.
I look at it like this, Joe, because I think that in order to understand this team a little bit, you got to step back and you got to reflect a little bit. And I think I see it a little bit differently because of my career. Like, I played 10 years in the NFL. I didn't go to the Super Bowl to my last year, you know, and that meant a lot to me, you know what I mean? Because as a player, there's certain things, like certain milestones you want to set for yourself. Number one, obviously get drafted, play in the NFL, you know, however you get there, you want to play in the NFL, make a ton of money, right? And then you want to win a Super Bowl or playing a Super Bowl, win a Super Bowl. You know, you definitely want to win it, but you want to be a part of that history, right? When I look at these players, like, that's why for me, when AJ said what he said last year, I couldn't imagine that, because mm-hmm. I'm looking at that from the perspective of a guy who played 10 years in the NFL and went to 3 NFC championship games and 1 Super Bowl towards the end of his career, right? When you look at this team, for the most part, you got a lot of guys who are in their first year, second year, third year,
yep.
fourth year, and went to 2 Super Bowls already. And they're looking at this like, man, they're probably looking around the locker room like, damn, we got a lot of really good talent in here. We could go down as one of the absolute greatest teams to ever play. I would not be surprised if that conversation has been had. When you talk about the players that they've amassed, the contracts that they've given out, the fact that all of these guys are under team control for a long time. So when I look at it like that, it's not hard for me to imagine them thinking that way. You know what I mean? Because it's like, we have an opportunity. Look at the Kansas City Chiefs as a side. Their defense has gotten younger, right? Their offense has gotten old right before our eyes. And even though they were in position to be in the Super Bowl last year, it was a slog getting there.
It was.
It was a slog.
It was the most slog they had in the
last. It was a slog.
Yeah, they by the skin of their teeth. I mean, yes, it was like every week was like that.
And we're hearing about Travis Kelce slowing down, you know, whether or not he's going to play another year and all this other stuff. Our team is in the sweet spot.
Now, but was part of that slog, they weren't as good of a team, part of it. But part of it was they were getting everyone's best shot. The Eagles are going to get everyone's best shot. Whether they want to talk about this or not, I will say they're going to get everyone's best shot. Everyone looks at them as the defending champions, whether they want to say it or not.
Let's look
at
it like for you, Joe.
I mean, someone's got to say it. I mean,
look at it like this,
Joe. They want to pretend it didn't happen. We all saw it.
Look at it like this, Joe, from a personnel standpoint. How many NFC teams off the top of your head right now, and I know, listen, folks, I know that teams have added players and all that stuff. I know that. And I know every season is different. But what we know about football right now, man for man, what teams do you see give the Eagles the most trouble or have a shot against the Eagles? The Commodores.
Detroit,
because they're healthy.
If you look at the rosters, I think Detroit's the closest thing to this.
Okay, Detroit, because they're healthy.
Yep.
And maybe the Rams?
Yes, if Stafford is healthy.
If Stafford is healthy.
By the way, Stafford has missed the first week, 10 days of camp with a back issue.
And the reason why I say that is because I think it's safe to say that they played them the toughest.
Yeah, they did.
In the playoffs. So you got 3 teams in the NFL that.
Well, NFC.
Well, yeah, NFC. Got you. That could potentially knock you off your pedestal. Mm-hmm. That's not a lot.
It's not a lot. And there's probably 1 or 2 more we're not talking about right now that will be. But you're right. Yeah. I mean, and that's.
Chasing greatness, Joe. Chasing greatness.
We all want to chase greatness. I just want them to embrace who they are. Well, They're the defending champs.
But hold on. Embrace it when you retire.
Yeah. But, like, the other part of this is not everybody on this roster won the Super Bowl last year.
Right. Of course.
I mean, they have rookies. They have new faces. Like, don't you think it's for the benefit of everybody that they all just kind of reset the mindset? Like, it's earned, not given. Like, what is Aziz Ojalari? Is Aziz Ojalari going to be walking around like he's a Super Bowl champion? He's not. Like, no, there's nothing for him to embrace. So It's almost better for the guys who are here, the veterans. I know they're not very old, but, like, the veterans on this team to kind of be like, you know, it didn't happen. It's a new season. Like, I think it's better for everybody to have the same mindset than for some people to have different mindsets than others.
Totally understood. Adversity will hit. It hits every team. And hit them last year. I mean, they were 2-2, and we were all, I mean, you know, idiots on here, on this show, me, which I'm going to fire in the head coach. Like, adversity will hit. Whether they're going to – it's not going to be as smooth as it was post-bye last year. And I just want them to remember who they are. Like, the Chiefs, we brought them up a lot. They've been the hunted in the NFL for a long time now. I think it helps them that in tough spots, they remember deep down, we're the best. That's the way they've carried themselves for a half a decade now because they know it. I just want this team to think like that. Because that's what you're modeling yourself after. They want to be the Chiefs. Like, if I'm picking any team to be like, be the Chiefs. Keep getting back to every Super Bowl. Jeff in Wilmington. What's up, Jeff?
Jeff.
What's up, guys?
What's up,
Hey, Jeff.
So there's a couple of things here. If I'm talking to the players, And I'm like, I'm telling them to do whatever you, however you need to think about what just happened last year and going forward to this year, whatever you need to tell yourself to motivate yourself for this upcoming season, then do it. If you think you need, what I'm saying is they need to do whatever it takes to get into a mindset of we're going to win it again. But you did just win the Super Bowl, and you have to have a little bit of attitude about you that we are the best team. These other teams have to beat us. I'm not saying you're going to have to peacock around all the time, but inside, you might, outwardly, you might have a little humility and say, look, you know, we still got work to do, blah, 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 and all that. But that's all BS, because inside, you know you're the champion. You know you've already beaten everybody, and you're the best team, and everybody's coming after you.
Jeff, so, I agree, and I just feel like, you know, there's going to be a moment, probably in the first month of the season, where they're down, you know, 4 points in the fourth quarter of the game. And, you know, does it help them if they're pretending last year? Man, I don't know. I mean, I would think if you've done something hard before and then it's hard again, you could say, we've done this. Like, Jalen could get in the huddle and say, we know who we are. We know who we are. Let's go do it. And that maybe can help.
That's how I would use the motivation for me. Like, wait a minute. We're the best team here.
Yep.
Let's start acting like it. Let's start playing like it. Let's start thinking like it. That's I don't know. Look, they got to do what they got to do to get through and, like I said, motivate themselves and whatever. But as a whole, I know deep down, A.J. Brown is saying, you know what, we're the best. He can say whatever he wants about it wasn't fulfilling, but I know in his heart he knows he's the best and that team was the best, and somebody's got to beat them to knock them off.
Yeah, and it's a fine line. And Jeff, appreciate the phone call. There's a fine line. Like, I don't want them to be putting banners up everywhere and wearing their rings, you know, out to the field of practice. Like, there is a moment where you have to move on to this year, and I recognize that, and I know Sirianni's trying his best to find the right angle to motivate his football team. I just want him to embrace it. They're the best team in the NFL. 215-592-9494. All right. Before we get back to the phones, let's just mention again the tennis match between Joe and Jack.
Canceled.
Postponed to a later date because of the heat. Hugh, what did you make of the management's decision today? I mean, we had a lot planned for this. We were going to live, you know, we were going to do the split screen live stream. We had interviews coming up.
Oh, it was going to be a big day.
It was going to be a big day, and I can't lie, I'm disappointed. I wanted to have this sit as part of our show and have those guys play tennis and see how this all, you know, worked out. Now I get it. We're trying to keep people safe. We don't want one of those guys going off in a stretcher. But I am disappointed. What are you feeling?
What I'm about to say is probably be my last day.
Here? Okay.
Yeah, probably. I'm just going to put it out there. But I don't understand why. And I'm not going to say no names. Mm-hmm. But somebody in upper management that was complaining about the heat had on blue jeans.
Oh, I know who you're talking about.
And I'm like, and I'm like, how are you going to sit here and talk about the heat and you out here cooking a stew
so
in your pants?
Let's paint the picture. The person, and it can remain nameless for now.
Yeah. Say the name then, Kyle.
Rod Lakin.
Oh, jeez.
Rod Lakin, who was
I
walking,
didn't know. I was assuming.
Rod Lakin, who was walking around at practice, cooking in blue jeans, made the decision shortly after the guy was roasted outside
What's that song in blue jeans? Who sang that?
Forever in Blue Jeans?
Forever in Blue Jeans. I'm like, dog.
Well, he's not the one playing tennis.
No, but now did it impact his thought? Like, all right, it's hot. We all know it's hot out there, okay? But if you're walking around in blue jeans, maybe you feel like it's 10 degrees hot.
That's what I'm saying. You out here making executive decisions and talking about the heat, and you got on blue jeans.
Yeah, I think we should make it. Nice working with you.
Yeah, it's my last. Yeah. Probably my
I said the name. There might be a new order we put down. No big decisions while wearing blue jeans in the heat.
Oh, dog. He out here talking about it's hot, and I'm like, seriously? It's
well,
hot?
Do you know who totally disagrees with the decision?
There you ran.
Vic Fangio.
Oh, Vic.
You see Vic's quote today?
I got it. You want to hear it?
Let's hear Vic on the heat.
After all your years coaching, how much do you enjoy or not enjoy a hot day like this at training?
It's not hot today. That's a mindset, you know. We're going to play some hot games of September, and if you cave to a hot day in training camp, we're in trouble.
You heard it.
Now that's a football guy right there. That's a football guy.
That's that old school mentality right there, man.
Well, he knows it. They'll play some hot games in September. They're going to go down to Tampa in September. They got to be ready.
You melted out there in Tampa. Remember that time?
We melted in Tampa too many times. All right. You can react with us to everything here, Eagles, and the mindset. Also, your reaction and your level of disappointment. And if you are or we're planning to drive down FDR Park, it is postponed today. That is we're not kidding around. They postponed it due to the heat. And I totally understand trying to keep those guys healthy. We didn't want Joe or Jack off on a stretcher. I'm just saying, and Hugh brings up a very fair point, that when you make these decisions,
you can't make it with
sweat
blue jeans
bullets
on.
And blue jeans.
Man, I mean, it's obvious you're hot because you have on blue jeans.
Let's be honest though, did we really not want Joe or Jack off on a stretcher today?
Well, okay, so if it's a stretcher,
you say, are we being honest? Did we want that to happen? You kind of like, I don't want him to be hurt.
No, it's more like dehydration will be fine the next day. Yeah, yeah. It would have been kind of fun.
That'd have been great content.
Yeah. I mean, as long as there's no real long term effects.
If we're live streaming to camera getting stretchered off,
that would have been awesome.
That clip would have went around every time to response of all the camera stakes. Just him on a stretcher going off after tennis.
It'd have been live to see our boss run around with them hot ass blue jeans on.
How much of the decision was because he wasn't going to make it himself.
He was real uncomfortable.
Of course he was. That guy's from Arizona. What is going on?
As a matter of fact, he probably went home and put some pants on. Cool off. I mean, put some shorts on. Yeah. Because he already got on some pants.
Yeah. Blue jeans was a tough decision.
All right, this is my last day.
Yeah, say goodbye to Hugh at the end. Let's go to Aaron in San Diego. What's up, Aaron?
Good morning, Philadelphia.
Good morning, Aaron. What's up, buddy?
Hugh, I got one thing to say to you, my friend.
What's that?
Brothers don't shake hands. Brothers hug, my friend. If I ever meet you in person, you can expect a hug coming. And if we're going to fight, we'll fight.
Then
we'll hug it out afterwards. Because it's all about the hugs. The hugs are free. You got to accept them when they're there.
You know what? I probably wouldn't have a problem with that. But you got to identify yourself first. If you just roll up and try to hug, you might catch a two-piece. So you don't want to do
that.
All
right, so one day you guys are going to be in Chickie and Pete's or at one of your remote locations, and you're gonna call on me, and in the bar and in the phone, you're going to hear, "Good morning, Philadelphia."
Yeah, we can do that.
Something tells me we'll know it's you right away.
Damn, yeah, I'm going to be off work that day.
you're trying to time your off days.
When's Aaron coming east? I'm taking the week off. Go ahead, Aaron.
I think I'm coming down with something.
Unlike, you know, the WIP upper management, you know, this Philadelphia Eagle team is absolutely focused. When you hear them talk, they're all on the same page. And a lot of times with the off season, you know, it's just lip service. The PR department tells the players what to say. The coaches tell the players what to say. But with our Philadelphia Eagles, all you have to do is go back to that video of the night before the Super Bowl and the speeches that all those players gave, and then look at the product that they put on the field the next day. This team is like the New England Patriots of old, the Tom Brady era, Teddy Bruschi, you know, those type of guys, Bill Belichick. They are business as usual. They can't control the fact that they won the Super Bowl. They can't control that they're going to get the best game from everybody that they face. All they can do is focus on September 4th and the Dallas Cowboys.
Well, that part is true. It's one game at a time, but they can control their mindset. Like they're just because they want to say last year is over, other teams aren't going to act like that. They're getting everyone's best shot.
They're the measuring stick.
Of course they are.
But Joe, don't get it twisted, man. They have that when this is the most dangerous part of them, is they have that silent confidence. They know inside what they are, and they know that each game that they're going to go, you know, that they're going to go up against the opponent every week, that they are the best team. And if they play their game and they're firing on all cylinders, there's not a team in the NFL that's going to be able to beat them.
Well, last year there wasn't, and we'll see this year if they're quite as dominant. But yeah, I mean, based on what the last time we saw them play, you're right. When they played their best football, as we saw title game, Super Bowl a few times during the year, they were. I mean, they were dominant. And they should still have the bones of that team, Aaron. I agree.
Hey, and on a side topic, I watched Happy Gilmore 2. I've watched it twice now.
Was it as bad as people say?
No. Here's the thing. Is young people are not going to like it. But for me, having four kids, you know, having all the stresses that you know, an individual in their 40s and 50s has with kids and the house and their career, it's just refreshing to sit back and watch some stupid slapstick comedy. The cameos were fantastic. You got to watch it a second time because there's little innuendos that Sandler has put in there that are just absolutely fantastic. But the only thing I didn't like about it, and Hugh, you touched on this with the remake of Beverly Hills Cop, the recent one on Netflix, is you see all your childhood stars and heroes, and you know they're dying off, but then you see them in movies. And you just see them when you haven't seen them in a while, just what they look like now. And man, getting old absolutely positively sucks, man.
Well, I think we all could agree with that one. Aaron, we appreciate the phone call. I haven't seen the movie. Have you seen it, Hugh? Have you watched it, Happy Gilmore 2?
Nope.
I turned it off like 30 minutes in.
It was bad?
I mean, it's not good.
Okay. I saw the cameos.
Yeah.
I saw the cameos, which I thought was kind of cool. You know, Ricky Fowler, a lot of golfers, Travis Kelce and those guys. I'm cool.
I guess you just got to, like, I don't know. It depends on how seriously you want to take it going in, which I guess you shouldn't. It's Happy Gilmore 2.
Yeah, I mean, why are we taking it seriously?
But again, I would say don't expect to, like, laugh out loud. I didn't, and I got tired of it pretty quickly.
Yeah, I mean, look, the sequels in general are rarely live up to the hype.
Also, it's like 30 years later. I mean,
yeah, it's they probably waited too long,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, they did.
Yeah, when you wait 30 years, it's like that return on the investment for people to wait that long.
I tried to watch the Beverly Hills Cop when they did. I was like, no, I can't do this because it's too far removed from what the movie was.
I wonder, should there be like a limit of a sequel if you don't make it within, I don't know, 10 or 15 years? Like, what are we doing?
Well,
here?
It's like the demographic has changed. The Your core audience is not the same. They're a little bit older.
That's true.
Their
yeah.
taste has probably changed. Some of the stuff that made them laugh probably doesn't make them laugh anymore. You know, it's a whole bunch of different things, man.
Well, it's also nostalgia. Like, we remember the first one. Like, you're right. Like, we were younger when the first one came out. We were in a different mind. I don't know. I mean, I might watch it at some point, but everyone I've heard talk about is like, yeah, it's terrible. But what did you expect? Like, did anyone expect it to be great? I mean, you were talking about winning Oscars earlier, Hugh. I didn't expect this to take home some award. It's Happy Gilmore 2.
No, it was a movie made for your friends. And it was it's not a money grab, but it's like, hey, I want to put my friends in a movie.
It's definitely a money grab.
Netflix paid Sandler a lot of money.
Really?
Yeah, he has a lot of movies on Netflix that I think people don't even...
No, he's... Yeah, Netflix.
Because Netflix paid him a bunch a while ago to make a bunch of movies.
Okay, well, there it is.
We'll get to our latest discovery of one of Hugh's acting roles at some point.
Kyle, was that what Chris in Middletown was referencing earlier?
I think so, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, do we have audio? We haven't covered it?
I mean, I can dig up audio.
Oh,
but,
well,
know,
that's
that,
important.
Yeah.
That's important for us to hear that. I think he has tried to hide too many of these acting
I mean, this is one of the...
Like Limitless and this
yeah,
one.
I'm telling you, man, I just... Only reason I'm not on the Tubi movie yet, because I just don't have time to go to Atlanta.
This is the most extensive amount of lines I think we've ever heard from Hugh.
Wow.
And, yeah.
All right, we'll judge that coming up. All right, 215-592-9494. I wish the Eagles just embrace who they are, defending Super Bowl champs. We'll talk to a couple of those defending champions when practice ends. Jalik Hunt and Reed Blankenship, two important parts of this defense. They will join us when practice ends today. More of your phone calls, 215-592-9494. Do you wish the Eagles just embrace who they are, the defending Super Bowl champions? Hugh's good with the mindset so far, which is, hey, let's pretend last year didn't kind of happen. I want them to embrace it. Where do you come down? We'll get to Phil's as well. Trade deadline is 2 days away. Midday Show live from Eagles training camp on Sports Radio 94 WIP.